This is Kirsty and Emma at Pink Freud, and this episode is our first episode, and it's called My Neck, My Back, My Anxiety Attack, because I have a bad neck, and we're going to talk about anxiety.
Woohoo!
Yay! So, seeing as it's our first podcast, Kirsty, do you have anything to say?
No.
Nah, I'm joking.
No.
No, I'm just super looking forward to just trying it out.
It'll yeah.
be really fun.
Having a chat about mental health.
People can hear our rantings about things and hopefully we'll be able to give people some information that they need and hopefully people will like it.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Maybe. It's better than keeping our rantings private. Yes. I think it's time that we entered the public domain.
I don't know whether that's a good idea, but we'll give it a go.
Okay, so today we're going to talk about anxiety. As two sufferers of anxiety, I wouldn't say that we're highly educated on this, but we've got some experience.
I think this is more like our personal opinions rather than being educated on it, because I don't think people should take everything we say as gospel.
Absolutely not. I would take 0% of what I say as gospel.
No.
But, you know, hopefully people can kind of, I don't know, relate to it.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah. We're just looking for more friends, basically. We just want some internet pals.
Internet pals.
Also, we need some new jingles.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, we were talking about anxiety today. So, the most recent stats are that 40% of people worldwide will experience anxiety. 3 million have the anxiety disorder in the UK at present. Was it this year or last year you found the results
That was for this year.
This year.
1 in 10 are likely to suffer with an anxiety disorder in their life.
That's a lot.
That is a lot when you think about it. So
that's everybody I know.
Pretty much the general population has anxiety when you think about it. So you know, you're not alone.
No.
That's weirdly comforting.
Is that we're all in a big anxious group.
Yeah, we're all just one big ball of anxiety. Just kind of vibrating along through life.
So I guess we should define, you know, what anxiety is. Well, what would you say?
What, personally or, like, actually?
Like, what would be your definition of anxiety then? Or your definition of your anxiety?
I don't know. I'd say it's kind of like, I know people describe depression as a dark cloud, but I'd say anxiety is also a bit of a dark cloud.
Mm-hmm.
But more of a grey one. Just kind of like, looms around you and it feels like someone's sitting on your chest all the time.
Yeah.
And you don't really know why.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I tend to get like the shakes quite a lot. Like I And I get really I don't know, like overactive. Like I've gotta do things all the time.
Do you get a bit manic?
Yeah.
Interesting. I get panic. Well, I haven't had panic attacks for a while, but when my anxiety was really bad, I would have really, really bad panic attacks.
I tend to move into like the OCD kind of thing as well. Like, I don't have OCD.
Yeah.
But I tend to like move into it when I'm anxious as kind of like a coping mechanism.
Okay. So what do you do?
Oh, cleaning. Well, you know that. Yeah. But like, yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of my way of dealing with things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether it's a healthy coping mechanism, but it's mine.
Yeah.
It works.
So. If it works, it works, right?
Yeah.
I guess that's the thing. So the, I suppose, textbook definition of anxiety is a brooding fear of what might happen. And you might have heard this a million times, but it's a reaction to stresses. It's apparently when the brain thinks that there's a potential danger and sends an alarm signal, but that's a false alarm. Is what happens, and that's how you classify generalized anxiety disorder. But like you said, with the stats, there's been an increase Massively. I don't know how recently, but definitely within the last 10 years, I would say.
Do you know, I put it down to social media and kind of the technological age as well.
Well, that's what I was about to say. Like, yeah. Well, why do you think people are getting more anxious these days? And the first thing that comes to mind is the internet for me.
Well, like, when you think about Instagram, like, most people spend all their life trying to get, like, more likes and more kind of social acceptance.
External sort of motivation.
Yeah.
It's like, they don't think about themselves in a good way because they've got loads of people on the internet to say, oh, yeah, you're doing all right,
Exactly.
Is that healthy, do you think?
Well, I know personally, like, if I post kind of, like, a fire photo and, like,
what
I get,
is a
like,
fire photo?
Like, you know, like, a really, really good one, like, when I look really good. And
oh, okay.
I feel really good about myself because other people have told me that I look good.
Okay.
But I look in the mirror and I go, no, you look terrible. Like, I know that
my anxiety
starts playing on that.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, if I post this, are people going to be like, oh my god, she looks like shit. Or like, oh my god, that is the worst thing I've ever seen. Like, and then they're going to start talking to their friends about it and like being like, oh yeah, look at this. Like, Kirsty's posted this really stupid thing. Like, look at that. Ha ha.
Because we can't say that we haven't done that to other people.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. We're all horrible, like, in a sense. Like, as much as we try and be nice.
Like, I can't deny that I've judged people on what they posted
on
social media.
Of course you do.
But then that throws back to me, then. What am I posting on social media and who sat there laughing, eating crisps on the sofa at me? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I find that I tend to post stupid things now or kind of self-depreciating things purely because I know that other people are going to do it to me, so I might as well just do it to myself.
I see what you mean.
I feel like that's not a very good way to go through life.
But, like, why does it... That's another thing. Like, I think social media has made us worry more about other people's opinions.
Yeah. Can you imagine, like, before we had phones and technology and the internet and everything else, can you imagine how life must have been? Like, your only worry, really, was, like, what so-and-so down the road was saying about you.
Mm.
By the things that you've actually done, or like word of mouth, rather than what you put on the internet and what everyone knows about you. Because I could tell you, like, I could pick one person on the internet and I could tell you their whole, like, backstory.
Yeah.
I could tell you everything about their life because everyone posts everything about themselves.
Yeah.
Because they need, because I don't know, like, speaking from my personal standpoint, everyone needs acceptance from everyone else nowadays because that's the way we're trained.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's always been a part of human nature. I think it's just been sort of amplified through social media. Like, deleting my Facebook was the best thing I've done.
Oh my god, tell me about it.
Simply because, not even that I don't have to see people's breakfasts anymore, because I've got Instagram, so I do.
Yeah.
But, like, it just gets rid of one element of anxiety for me.
I don't know why. I think Facebook was the worst one for me. Like,
I think it was, like, I think we spoke about it before, like, when I was in Japan, and all my friends are back here, and I'd watch them, and they'd always put the best things happening to them, and I'd be sat in Japan being like, I'm missing out on all my friends.
But that's all
great moments. But that's not what was actually going on, because when you speak to them on the phone, they're like, oh, I'm having a shit day, this happened, and, you know, but, like, to me, all the way over there, like, 6,000 miles away, that's what it's going to look like to me. I was like, wow, everyone's having a great life over there, and what am I doing over here?
Yeah. But I think that's kind of, like, that reverts back to what we were just saying as, like, I don't know, with everything else, like, I follow, like, house, like, people's houses and things and people's, like, cooking.
I love people's houses.
But that's the thing, and then I always wonder, like, what are they doing to, like, get all this money to do these nice things, and then they post about their houses and how nice their houses are, and like, look at all these things you should have, and then you feel bad about yourself because you haven't got them, and then you realise that they're just gifted through advertisers because they want them to advertise their stuff.
Yeah, I mean, their house is basically a commercial, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't live like that. I don't.
No. No, I couldn't, you know, if that's a great way to make a living, if you can get it, but I don't know, that's never appealed to me. I like looking at it, but I don't get sort of fear of missing out from it. I'm not like, oh, I wish I had.
But I find people are...
this scrub.
For lack of a better word, killing themselves over things
making
like that.
Posts, yeah. Yeah. How to become like that.
Mm.
Okay. Do you think anything else is contributing to anxiety apart from sort of the internet and stuff? I think people work longer hours and more jobs.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, living expenses have gone up as well.
Yep. Yep.
So it's getting more difficult to kind of cover your bills and have a lifestyle.
Like, just in general, if you look at it and, like, look at all the political nonsense that's going on as well. Like, I think it's extremely unhealthy to not have some anxiety about everything.
Also, if you go down the health route, it's really difficult to, like, even get an appointment at the doctor's surgery nowadays. Like, you know, you could...
It takes, like, 2 weeks.
But that's what I mean. So if you are suffering with something, you could be worrying about your health. Like, you know, physical health, not even mental health. You could be worried about your health, and then that could set off your anxiety because you can't get a doctor's appointment for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And you sat there worrying about it, stewing in it for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. No, I agree with you. I think everything, like, the way everything is sort of planned out, like, all of our services, like, there's an element of anxiety in them.
Yeah.
That there wasn't before. Because of the pressures on them, or because they haven't got the staff or the funding or anything like that. Okay. Yeah, so there's a lot of anxiety around.
Yeah. Yeah. I literally are you feeling anxiety?
A little bit. It's sort of like I need to think about something calm, like the beach or something.
Yeah. Puppies and kittens.
Puppies and kittens. Oh. Okay, so let's dive a bit further into anxiety. And we'll take a little break there.
Okay.
So, welcome back. Now we're going to talk about what types of anxiety there are, because, you know, you've heard about panic attacks and Kirsty's cleaning schedule. But what other types of anxiety do we have, or what's classed as anxiety then, I suppose? I know we've got panic disorder, which is where I had cleaning disorder.
Also known as OCD.
Well, no, because, I mean, it's part of OCD, isn't it?
Well, it is. To be honest, it's not wholly OCD, because, you know, not everyone with OCD cleans. It's not that doesn't... That's generalising, and that's awful.
No, but I think it would come under the symptomology. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I think it would.
But again, like, you know, people with OCD, they don't just, like, whenever anyone says, "Oh, you know," like, jokingly, "I've got OCD," it's always related to cleaning. But I don't think that people.
No, it's a much bigger spectrum than that.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, that's just popular culture, isn't it? That's just how you do it. But I'd say that cleaning when you're anxious and making sure things are in order, because that makes you feel better if everything's in its right place. Like, that could come under obsessive compulsive disorder, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, like, a lot of people who do suffer with OCD do clean to make themselves kind of feel better about things.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, like, OCD is not just about cleaning. It's like...
No, absolutely. You know,
there's a whole kind of range of things that people do.
Yeah, definitely. What other types of anxiety do we...
Social anxiety disorder.
Ooh. Go on, tell us about that.
So it's like, I don't know, like, just fear of being in public and kind of...
In social situations. Yeah.
You know? I've got it. I'm terrible for it.
I don't like being in the spotlight.
No. Well, you know, recent experience when I ran you from the toilet. When I was at Comic Con. Crying. Because a clown scared me. I was already pretty anxious going there.
Well, there's just so many crowds in Comic-Con.
That's another, like, anxiety thing, phobias.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there was a huge crowd at Comic-Con, and I was already pretty anxious to go, but I really wanted to go, because we were going for my partner's kind of Christmas present, so we could meet Robert Englund. And then some scary clown came up behind me and started... he literally just kind of shoved chattering teeth in my face as I turned around, and I had a complete breakdown and ran to the toilet, and being in the toilet just kind of, like, automatically pulled my trousers down and sat on the toilet, burst into tears, and then called M and was just having a big social anxious cry down the phone.
I have to apologise again for laughing at you when you called me. But that was one of the funniest situations I've ever had somebody be in.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, I'm in the toilet, I've taken my pants off. A clown scared me at Comic-Con.
There's so many people. I mean, it's really funny to look back on, because I'm in a safe space now, but if I was in that situation again, I'd probably do the same thing, because it's just kind of, I don't know.
No, absolutely. And like, talking about phobias, like, you know, clown phobias are justified as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, colorophobia is a huge one.
It's horrible. But I recently found out the name of one of my phobias. My phobia is throwing up. I hate it. It gives me a panic attack if I even feel sick.
Really?
Yeah. I can't hack it. It's called emetophobia.
Oh, no way.
I did not know that. Always throughout my life, if I was going to throw up, I have a panic attack before I throw up.
I went to school with a girl who used to have that fear. And she used to carry around like a bottle of Pepto-Bismol in her bag. I don't know, because it doesn't stop
genius.
You. It doesn't stop you from throwing up, does it?
To be honest, sometimes, like, especially in my adult life when I felt a bit sick, I've taken a Rennie and that sort of calms down the nausea.
Ah, yeah, good point.
I don't know if that actually stops me being sick, or if I would have been sick if I hadn't taken the Rennie, but it does help, definitely helps with the panic aspect of it.
But yeah, she used to carry around a bottle of Pepto-Bismol in her bag.
What a genius. And work is calling me. Fly that one up. All right, so what other types of anxiety are there? PTSD.
Ooh, PTSD is a big one in our life.
It's close to my heart.
I think it's close to everyone we come across nowadays.
Yep.
Like, especially with work and things. And
yep.
For those who don't know, we work in mental health.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of mental health symptoms come from trauma. Trauma is a big one.
Childhood trauma.
Yeah. Yeah. Childhood trauma is a big one. And I remember there was a time when PTSD was only related to people who'd gone to war and come back. Like, that's when it started being taken seriously. It still is in some parts. I was reading about this in America the other day.
See, I recently posted a thing being like, PTSD is not just for soldiers. And like, that hit home, because I realised that it's still a big thing, isn't it?
Well, that's the thing. If you mention, especially the, like, sort of my parents' generation, if you mention PTSD, they'll just say, well, that's that NAM thing or something like that. And you're like, well, no, it's, you know, it comes from a range of different traumas. Like, you can have trauma without having gone to war and seen people being killed. Like, obviously, that is a trauma.
That's a huge one.
That's a massive trauma. And I'm not taking that away. I'm just saying that PTSD can come in other forms as well.
It doesn't matter how minor it seems to you either. Like, you know, something could be super traumatic to someone and it could not affect the next person at all.
Yeah.
It just, you know, the brain works in weird ways.
Well, that's the thing, and we're all different. And even, like, from a biological perspective, like, we're all sort of wired or chemically balanced in different ways. So some people will be more highly sensitive. So if you add trauma into that mix, then they are going to sort of develop mental health issues with that, whereas other people are more resilient biologically and so they can deal with different types of trauma or something like this.
Then you do find that the people who deal with things kind of now, it all comes out later in life.
That definitely resonates with me.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I will experience a trauma and go through it and be stalled. I remember Sarah telling me when she crashed the car. And I was in there and she was like, you just got out the car and you just took over and, like, you rang the police and you got Lowen out the car. And, like, she was just like, you didn't even, like, blink. Like, you just got out and started, like, doing it. And then, like, a few days later, it sort of hit me and I had a big cry about her. And I was like, oh my God, I nearly died. I mean, I didn't nearly die, disclaimer. But, like, yeah, the stress of that didn't hit me until a few days later. Whereas if it was, like, a trauma in childhood that you sort of, you know, you're not mentally developed enough to cope with, you're going to bury that and it's going to come out later in some way or another.
Yeah.
So I think PTSD definitely should be up in the anxieties.
Oh, absolutely.
Cool.
1000%.
All right. So we'll take another break there and come back and talk about medication. So let's talk about drugs.
Everybody loves drugs.
Do they?
No. Well, some people do.
Yeah, and some people love drugs a bit too much. But today,
like Snoop Dogg.
Let's focus on that man.
Well, he makes it public. So
you went there.
I went there.
You went there, and he makes it public. So
what can I say?
Exactly. But in terms of medication for anxiety, you know, they say there's a prescribing epidemic where you'll just go to the doctors and say, I feel down, I feel sad, I'm panicking about stuff, and they'll just give you medication.
I've experienced that.
Yeah, me too. Mm. But on the flip side of that, I've also experienced medication that actually helps.
I can't go ahead. Say it. personally, I can't say I have.
Okay.
I know, but the thing is, like, some things work for some people and some things work for others.
Exactly. Exactly. And I mean, it took a long time for me to find something that worked. I started off on fluoxetine, which made me really unwell, like 3 days in. I think I was about 17 at that point. And then, yeah, I've been on, oh God, I can't remember what the other ones were, but we finally settled on citalopram, which works for me. I've been on it on and off for years. Yeah, it was good. It was good because I had a diagnosis of depression and generalised anxiety disorder. And now I think I'm pretty much just taking it for the anxiety disorder. Obviously, when I was in Japan, they gave me the benzodiazepines as well. That was real fun. Some Xanax, some bromazepine. If you're ever offered bromazepine, never take it. Never, ever take it. Because coming off that was a ride.
Yeah, I remember you coming off that, like when you came back. Yeah. Jeez.
And that was 6 months into withdrawal from that stuff. That was me reducing my dose. That was nasty.
Yeah, that was really fun.
Thankfully, that stuff's not available in the UK, but neither is Xanax, and I think Xanax is a really good benzodiazepine. I have no problem with that at all. But yeah, bromazepam or bromazepam.
Within reason, I think, if you just continually.
I mean, yeah, don't take Xanax every day.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless, you know, you're really stressed and you've got like a 2 week sort of prescription from your doctor, which you're not going to be able to get unless it's privately in the UK anyway. But if you are going to take benzos, that's probably the best one.
I've never tried Valium. All sorts of fun things.
Go on then.
So they started me out on, because they kind of found out I was suffering from depression and anxiety when I was about 11.
Mm.
So they didn't want to put me on anything kind of back then because I was a bit young.
Yeah.
So they tried me with counselling and stuff. And for me, counselling didn't necessarily work with me because I'm too much of a skeptic. So I was kind of like...
Right.
Eh. And at the time, I didn't really want the help. I kind of wanted to stew in my own kind of, you know, being a preteen, kind of wanted my own...
There's an element of sort of like rite of passage.
At that there is. And like, I don't know, I didn't really want to accept the help, and my parents were kind of forcing me into it. So at that point, it was kind of like a pushback. I was like, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it. So I'll just go to the sessions and I won't let it work for me.
Okay.
Which obviously didn't work because. And then, like, as time went on, it just got worse. I know I was always an anxious child.
Mm.
No one really picked up on it because I've always been kind of like an extrovert.
Right.
An extroverted introvert.
Yes, yes, like I've heard of these.
Yeah, I'm one of those. But yeah, as time went on, it just kind of got worse. And then I had my first baby. And then...
The baby.
And then after that, I just kind of went, like, postnatal depression. Massively.
Oh, dear.
And they put me on citalopram.
Yay!
Which didn't touch me.
Oh.
Whatsoever. So it's, like, it's really good to hear that it works for you. Because it didn't work for me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because that kind of gives me hope in the fact that, it, you know...
Well, I mean,
like, things do work for people, like, do you know
what they mean? Do. I think I read somewhere that, like, of all Western medications, even for physical complaints, like, the average is about 60% efficacy. So, like, 40% of people have no reaction to any sort of drug. I mean, not the same 40 people. but like 40% of people, yeah. But like, you know, you are going to have that where it's going to work for some people and not for others. But did you find anything after that that worked?
No, to be honest, I kind of self-managed for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went back to work after, you know, 8 years of not working because of it. Well, you know, she had Down syndrome and heart problems and whatever else. Went back to work, and I went to work in a really high-pressured call centre environment, which was really, really dumb. So, yeah, my anxiety kind of went through the roof. At which point, and I had other things going on, like, you know, where it's kind of my own personal things going on.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, which I'm sure I'll open up about later on. I don't want to give away too much.
Don't Pandora's box us immediately.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I had my own stuff going on at the same time, and I had to go and see a psychologist, and they put me on sertraline and pregabalin, which completely like took away the anxiety and the depression, but kind of left me in this kind of drug-induced state all the time. So I was just kind of like this dribbling zombie all the time.
That's not ideal. Which,
don't get me wrong, it felt great. Like, you know, in terms of, like, it. Just imagine, like, you know, if you've broken your leg and you've been on morphine. Like, yes. It just felt like that.
I can't, I've never broken anything or been on morphine, but I have been drugged up.
Well, yeah.
To the point where my anxiety has stopped, the point where I can't feel anything, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, so imagine that. Well, you know, brief analogy, like, when Daryl came home, my partner, and he thought I'd been out drinking all day, and literally I had just taken my meds. And I'm sat there dribbling on my own boobs, watching TV, kind of falling asleep with one eye open.
That is a powerful image.
Yeah, it was beautiful. So I had to come off those. So my personal experience with medication has not really been great. I'm sure I'll find something, but right now I'm self-managing and I'm doing all right.
You're doing a great job.
I have my days, but I'm doing all right, I think.
Well, so do I, and I'm on medication, so if that says anything to you, then do you know what I mean?
I think it's just kind of how you approach things, I suppose.
Yeah.
And having the right support around you, I think that's the best.
Yeah, exactly.
That is the best medication you can get.
Is that support network?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I believe.
Absolutely. No, definitely.
I feel like I'm talking too much, though.
So. You're talking perfectly. You've got some good stories. But we will take a break there and come back and talk about like what anxiety actually feels like and what type of treatments there are apart from medication, shall we?
Yes.
Good. So, welcome back again.
Hello.
I had a sip of coffee, but I've run out of coffee now.
Yeah, me too. Sad times.
I'm excited for my muffin, which I'm going to have in a minute. So we're going to talk about what anxiety actually feels like. So in terms of sort of my anxiety, like I said, panic attacks, sweaty palms, not being able to sleep, loss of appetite, shakiness, like that type of thing. What about you?
I pretty much get the same. Insomnia is a massive one for me. Mm. I'm currently going through my cycle of insomnia, which is absolutely fantastic.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it's great. It's really, really exciting. Really exciting. I get the kind of like hot and cold flushes. I get lightheadedness quite a lot. I go into like fight or flight. That's my
That's your panic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. From what we've experienced, there are so more different, so more many like other symptoms that you could experience. I recently found out that aggression can be part of panic.
Yeah,
panicking, but like by like snapping at people or shouting at people, that could actually be a sign that somebody's sort of panicking. And it took me a while to sort of go, that makes sense.
I relate to that massively because I do that quite a lot.
Okay.
I, I'm such a nice person.
No, you are. Don't let anxiety get you. Don't listen to the anxiety.
I just feel sorry for Daryl because he has to live with me through it.
Yeah, but you know, you can't say he doesn't do the same sometimes.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But it's okay. We snap at each other and then we're fine. It's
yeah. And we've all got our different ways of coping. But we've actually got quite a comprehensive list of what anxiety might look like. Kirsty, if you would do the honours.
I will do the honours. So, you might feel jittery, dizzy, panicky, shaky, numb, irritable, cold or shivery with goosebumps, hypervigilant. You may even feel as though you want to hurt yourself or even suicidal.
Yeah.
Which I feel is probably quite a big one for a fair amount of people, actually.
Probably.
We've come across.
Yeah.
You might also experience an inability to speak, random flitting thoughts, repetitive thoughts that you can't turn off, insomnia, a need to sleep in the daytime, panting, trembling, breathlessness or a tight chest, a racing heart, a dry mouth and a clenched jaw, clammy hands, tingling feet or hands, sensitive skin, headaches or migraines, nausea, vomiting, difficulty relaxing, difficulty staying still, a desire to excessively bite your nails or your lips. Oh, I do that all the time. pick your spots or scratch your skin, which I also do. Like, I'm terrible for picking my spots. I'm awful.
I've got this one part of my head that I cannot stop scratching when I'm anxious. And honestly, I'm like a dog scratching it. I need like a cone around my forehead.
Should we make you one?
Yes, please.
And sensitivity to light and sound, which I also get. So like loud noises and stuff, I don't like that if I'm feeling particularly anxious.
I don't like that in general. All bright lights.
So like if we're in the car and someone, like say I've got music on and I'm listening to the music, I kind of like tone into it because... Yeah. It takes my mind off things.
Yeah.
And if someone starts like singing in a stupid way, or if like they're shouting in the back of the car or something, I will immediately like flip because I can't.
I don't like that too. If I'm watching the TV or if the TV's on and then somebody's trying to have a conversation with me and somebody else is playing music in another room, like I just get sensory overload with that. Yeah. I just can't handle it.
Yeah, sensory overload's a big thing.
I don't like it. That makes me really anxious. Yes. Okay, so finally today, shall we talk about the different types of treatment that you might want to have a look at for anxiety?
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, therapy and counselling is the first one, if you can find somebody you can click with.
Yeah, I think... Actually, to be honest, since working in mental health, I fully kind of endorse therapy now. I'm just like, yeah, no, you should definitely do it.
Yeah.
Like, even if it hasn't worked for me in the past, like, I did have one really good kind of therapist and they were all right. And then, unfortunately, because I moved, I had to not see them anymore, which was sad.
I had the same in Japan. I had a really nice therapist. Yoshi for life.
Yoshi for life!
He was an awesome. He's probably the first therapist I've ever clicked with, and I saw him for a year, and he's done me no end of good. So I can only sing that man's praises. If you're ever in Japan and you need therapy, I don't know where you'll find him. He's moved.
but find a guy called Yoshi.
Find a guy called Yoshi, and he was a great therapist. But like some other stuff that I've been trying for my anxiety, I had hypnotherapy for my panic attacks when I was about 24. I think it was, I went and saw some guy, we sat in his shed. It was a lovely shed. He had like little deck chairs in there and everything, and then he just took me down and made me imagine this scene about me being water and getting into a desert, and I couldn't pass through the desert because I'm water and it was tough to like negotiate through, so I had to just try and let myself evaporate into the clouds and just let it flow and stuff.
Oh, that sounds really nice.
And I really loved it at the time, but I was just like, that ain't gonna work. And I swear to God, that stopped my panic attacks. Like, I've had a couple since then.
That's really good.
A couple. And that's like, I was having like 10 panic attacks a day up until that point. Like, that's awesome. Can't even describe how much that helped me. It hasn't completely cured me of anxiety or panic, but Jesus Christ, it did the world a good. Like,
that sounds really good.
If you can find somebody that's a hypnotherapist, I highly recommend giving it a go. Because I didn't think it was going to work. And I did. The end. And that's all I got to say about
like
that.
An academic mind, like for that to work, like that is kind of...
Well, that's the thing, because I'd been studying like the human givens at that point, like all that book up there, like, because I met a girl whose father was running this human givens thing, and she took me to some of like the seminars and stuff they had, and they said like something that really stuck with me, which is that the mind, sort of, we work through stories, like human beings are storytellers. We pass on information through stories, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you're learning morals through, you know, your fairy tales and stuff like that. You learn how to be safe. You learn how to do stuff. Yeah, right? Like, all of this stuff is just, we learn it through stories. Like, you share a story about, this happened to me at this place, so don't you do that, or maybe you should try that, and then it'll work. So, like, that sort of made sense to me in the sense that, you know, hypnosis, I didn't feel like I was hypnotized, but I felt like I was relaxed.
Yeah.
And that was the perfect time to sort of program my brain with a nice story about like letting things go.
Yeah, I think that's actually good.
I can see how it might work, you know.
That is a good idea.
Even as an academic. Like, that makes sense, right?
No, but you know what I mean. Like, you are more logical than you are, kind of.
I'd like to think I'm more logical than feeling.
Yeah.
But in terms of mental health, I try to be more logical about it because there's got to be an answer for it, even if it's individualised for each person. There's got to be something that can happen.
Mm.
But stories work, according to me, in my experience. Yeah.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Thank you. You've also got, like, CBT.
Yeah, CBT.
DBT. And mindfulness, which is another one I do with Headspace. I think a lot of people use Headspace now. They just do these mindfulness activities for 5 minutes a day. They really help. I don't know how.
I know a lot of people do like non-therapeutic kind of practices as well. So you've got like yoga, you've got meditation, you've got something that I've been looking into because I kind of suffer with my body image and things, which is like people are doing body positive like photo shoots and things now, which I think is really nice.
Oh, you were telling me about that the other day.
Yeah, I think it's really nice.
I think it's a good idea.
They do kind of, and I've noticed on Instagram, again, people are doing, like, what is it, like, I can't think of the word, but, like, you know, like, where people kind of, like, do a dance for 5 minutes a day, or, like, you know, try and...
Okay, so, like, act it like rainbow rhythms.
Yeah, sort of, like, rainbow rhythms from Peep Show, yeah, it's kind of, like, you just kind of, just let yourself go, just kind of, like, just... Throw all your limbs out there and
that's
just
cool.
Let go of all your bad energy and just kind of...
That's awesome.
I know it's a bit, like...
Well, no, but, like...
Hippy-dippy, but at the same time...
Whatever works.
I think it's kind of a nice thing.
I like having a dance.
Yeah.
In private.
Yeah, me too.
Cool. Talking about photo shoots, another thing I've seen on Instagram, totally unrelated to
Instagram.
This... Instagram. Instagram, is that people are having photo shoots with their... PhD dissertations.
What?
As if they're pregnant with them and then holding them in a blanket because it takes so fucking long to write them.
Yeah, it does. I've been watching you for
a
while now.
That's just my... I'm not even writing a PhD dissertation.
Well, no, but I've been watching you just do your general bloody...
General.
Uni work and that's just crazy.
That sucks. So I super want a pregnant PhD photo shoot at the end of mine, please.
Can I do it?
Yes,
can
please.
Do it? Yes.
Can you help me?
Yeah,
maybe next to a river.
I'll put you... Kind of dissipated into the clouds.
Daisies in my hair.
Yeah.
Throw it up and all the pieces of paper descend around me.
Yeah, I will.
Like an exploding newborn.
Man, that was dark.
Sorry, Mum. I really have no idea how to end this. Okay.
But yeah, on a positive note, like, you know, research therapies.
Yeah.
All the therapies that you can research just possibly... Just do it.
Yeah. Look into anything. Like, try something new. And, you know, talk to your friends. Talk to online groups about it.
Another thing I can bring up as kind of like an afterthought was the thing that I didn't know about until this week. Which may have kind of given me an insight into my anxiety, which was the thing I was telling you about earlier.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Which is something called premenstrual dysphoric disorder.
Okay.
So basically, men won't suffer with this, so men, you can tune out for a bit. But women, I know the week before your period, I tend to get really, really, really low.
Mm.
Like, as low as you can go, like, below the earth low. And my anxiety goes way through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And I can now, I, like, it's been for as long as I can remember. I kind of had a bit of relief during my pregnancies. And I didn't really know what was going on with it. Mm. But my mum went to see her kind of hormone doctor.
Doctor hormones.
Doctor hormone.
She will appreciate the Estefan.
Yeah. She will. But yeah, she went to see her kind of hormone doctor. And he suggested that there was something called premenstrual dysphoric disorder, which basically means that everything that I've described kind of compiled into those three words.
Yeah.
And it's basically an imbalance in your hormones, which kind of affects your anxiety and your depression and your mental well-being for that week. But the week after, then you just kind of spend your life kind of building everything back up, and then you start getting anxious because you know that that's coming again. So you just live in this anxious kind of cycle.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, if you feel like you kind of connect with that, it's definitely worth going to ask your doctor or, you know, going doing some research on it, because not a lot of people know about it.
No, me neither.
I think, you know, and people with bipolar tend to get misdiagnosed with it as well. So
fair enough.
There's another little fun fact for you.
Fun fact. People get misdiagnosed. Yeah. We could do an entire episode on that.
Yeah, maybe we will. We'll chuck that on the list.
Cool. Okay. Well, should we leave it there for today?
Yeah, I think we shall. I think that was all right.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I hope you enjoy it.
We could talk more than I thought we could. But as sort of covering our backs as well, like, we're not professionals, but if you are affected by anything here that you've heard today, then you can always contact some of the organisations in the UK that can help you. Obviously, if it's urgent, then the Samaritans is your best bet. They've helped me a lot. They're on 116 123. But we've also got Mind, which is on 0300 123 3393. And they're to talk about any mental health disorder, right? And finally, there's Anxiety UK, which Kirsty found earlier, to speak about your anxiety, which is 03444 775774. Have I got everybody?
Yeah, I think so. There's another charity that I wanted to kind of give a shout out to, because I've been kind of following them for a while now and I like their stuff. And it's called Heads Together. You can find them on kind of all sorts of social media and stuff, but they will direct you to all of these numbers and charities if you need it, and they'll give you support with your mental health as well.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you very much for listening, if you are indeed listening.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I mean, you know, we don't expect people to listen, but thank you very much if you are.
Yes, you're probably a friend or family member.
But yeah, it's been fun chatting anyway. Yeah, I've enjoyed it.
It's been great. Let's do this again next week.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. Bye-bye.
Pink Freud out.